We have an announcement this week, which is we're discontinuing our Again With This minis. Unfortunately, they affect our download numbers in businessy ways that we will not bore you with. But going forward, we will incorporate some of your topics into the main show. Plus, coming soon, we'll be bringing you excerpts from an original 90s vintage Beverly Hills 90210 tie-in novel. No, not one that either of us wrote, although good guess. This is one that was actually commercially available. But for now, our last two minis are at the start of this all-mini archive for your listening pleasure. And thank you for taking this mini journey with us. Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With His Minis. Today's episode is A-Hole in A-Hole. And now you hear the...
At Rare Oats on Twitter writes, at what moment during the series would you be most inclined to push Brandon down a well? I thought we might get the sound clip. What would be waiting for him at the bottom, Sarah?
Pretty much any time he's been on screen since like season two would qualify him for well pushing. But I went with when he is braying at James, the basketball transfer star, in the very first season, thereby saving us all a lot of time and agony. Obviously, if you are familiar with my work in any genre, you know that a beehive is at the bottom of the well, along with a compulsory dance class.
Oh. Tara. Well, Brandon's had so many lows, but I'm going to say slut-shaming Lucinda for sleeping with him was pretty terrible. So I would push him down a dried-up well full of brown recluse spiders. Jardine of Shadir.
Well.
There it is.
Not really.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network. Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With His Minis, Beverly Hills 90210. Today's episode is The Quick Brown Fox Crossed Over The Lazy Show.
Well done. At Missy Kerrigan writes, choose another Fox show airing in the 1997-98 season and suggest a storyline that could be explored in a crossover episode. Sarah D. Bunting.
Sarah D. Bunting misread this and did not see that it had to be another Fox show. So it isn't. It's an NBC show. A little joint I like to call Unsolved Mysteries, because that was its name. The entire gang disappears without a trace. Deshaun takes over as the Unsolved Mysteries host, and Robert Stack buys the Peach Pit after dark and makes every night seance night. Tara.
Perfect. Val decides she no longer wants to pay her debt to society and lams it out of the clinic. LAPD gives chase, and before she knows it, she's starring in World's Wildest Police Video.
This Val learned the hard way. Two boobs don't make a right? I don't know.
She thought she thought her two bozos were above the law. But she learned they weren't. Bozos.
What's even happening?
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network. Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Everybody, this is Again With This Minis. Today's topic is FMK.
Welcome to our first Again With This Mini. Today's topic comes to us from Erica. As I mentioned in our big podcast this week, this was originally supposed to be a challenge, but it was a little bit too big for a challenge. So it very fortunately is an excellent first topic.
You've been promoted.
Exactly, for our very first mini. So Erica wants us to, she's given us five sets of characters from 90210. We're going to do FMK. And if you're not familiar, this is a game. Fuck, marry, kill. Death is not an option. You have to assign one fate to each of the characters. Yes, Dave.
FMK. It's gonna rock ya.
Here we go, Sarah. Are you ready?
I'm pretty sure I'm not, but let's do it anyway.
All right, let's start with Claire, Donna, Val.
Oh, that's a tough one. Well, actually, it's not that tough.
No, it's not.
Really easy.
I am going to marry Claire, fuck Val, and kill Donna.
Yep, me too. Okay, moving on. Susan, Emily Valentine, Kelly.
Marry Susan, fuck Emily Valentine, kill Kelly.
Again, no brainer. It's really not a challenge so far. Okay, here's where it gets a little more dicey.
Oh, God.
Rush. Dave, that's Steve's dad.
Okay.
That guy. Jim. That's the one. And Nat. Let's let Dave go first.
All right. Well, you don't marry Nat because you're going to be in financial trouble for the rest of your life.
Word.
I don't have the it in me to kill Jim, so I guess you're going to have to kill Steve's dad.
Wow, Sarah.
I'm going to marry Rush, chiefly because of the pinky ring, I'm not going to lie.
Yep.
And yeah, I agree that Nat is unmarriageable, but and I'm not that opposed to body hair, like a lot of it.
Yep.
But Jim is so annoyingly indulgent of Brandon that he's got to be killed, and I will fuck Nat for free.
I mean,
that's how he does everything.
Yeah, I can't marry Jim for the same reason not just because of the indulgence of Brandon, but also, I mean, he was mean to Cindy. He made her think that they were going to have to maybe get divorced last year, and that can't stand.
Oh, yeah, true.
So I'm going to just fuck Jim. I'm going to marry Rush, and I'm going to kill Nat because apparently he is super fertile if he's getting 56-year-old women pregnant with a condom, and I can't risk that. All right, moving on. Colin, Ray, Joe. I'm going to assume Dave is shaking it off. Sarah, go ahead.
Oh, boy. This is really tough.
Yeah.
Joe, okay. I'm going to kill Colin because that ass hat's unacceptable. So, Ray, I think I'm going to marry Ray.
Go!
I can handle that guy. I don't know. Like, he's not terrible. Occasionally he has moments, especially like thinking back to when he's like, I don't want to hang out with your friends. Like,
yeah,
thank you.
True.
Joe is cute, but so boring that I would end up pushing him down the stairs. So I'm going to fuck him and marry Ray.
Okay.
Controversial, but I think I can handle it. Tara. All right.
Well, I'm going to kill Ray.
Fair.
You know, because he's an abuser and not a good actor either. And I don't need him writing any songs about me, which he would if he was alive. So I'm going to marry Joe, even though that means probably having to go live in Beaver Falls. And I'm going to fuck Colin because he's a cokehead and at least he would have some energy. That's my rationale. And finally, oh my God, here we go. David, Brandon, Dylan. Dave, seems like you have thoughts.
Oh boy. Wow. Yeah, I want come back to me. I got to think about
it. Okay, Sarah.
Oh, the fact that I have to marry one of these douche nozzles. Oh, no. All right, this pains me.
Yep.
I'm going to fuck David.
Yeah.
I'm going to kill Brandon.
Yep.
And Dylan's got
marry
the money.
Dylan, because he likes cats.
Does he have money when he leaves the show?
Yeah,
is he
still
rich?
Still got money. Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
rich.
So you marry Dylan.
Yeah.
And for the good of Earth, you kill Brendan, which forces you to fuck
and he obviously likes a tempestuous drama queen.
Yeah, I don't think there's another answer to this, because you do have to kill Brandon.
You do have to kill Brandon,
like whether you feel like you can or personally should, whatever your personal code is, you have to recognize that Brandon must die.
Brandon must die. It's true. I mean, the only choice is whether you're going to marry Dylan or marry David.
Well, after doing that, you have to think of yourself a little. So, right. I mean, like, if you're going to have to spend your life with either Dylan or David,
yeah.
I mean, it's not much of a choice. You got to treat yourself within the parameters of this FMK. So.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the David really lets himself out of the running for marriage by the way he acts when he has the tiniest setback.
And if you marry David, you would be so tempted to then kill him because he's such an asshat, like consistently and thoroughly.
Yes.
That, and within the parameters of FMK, if you end up killing two people, like something terrible happens to the universe.
But I think there is another timeline. Like if you confine it to only these characters in season one, I think that shakes it up a little bit because then you really can't be doing anything carnal with David.
Right. Right.
Right.
So you're forced to kill him.
Right.
But then you still don't want to marry Brandon.
No.
At least slightly less horrible.
I got one to take us out.
Oh, okay.
All right. Mondale the car. Scrappy-Doo the dog. What was his name? Arnold?
Oh, Wally.
Wally? Yeah, Wally and Dead Scott.
Ew.
Oh, God.
Wait, I'm finished.
Uh-huh.
Dead Scott.
Okay. Well.
I'm killing the dog, I'm fucking the zombie, I'm marrying the car.
Well, it's just because the only lust Sarah has is wanderlust.
I mean, I'm killing the dog too. Uh-huh. I hate that dog. Okay. I guess I'm fucking zombie Scott.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and marrying Montel. That backseat is too small to fuck in.
I'm gonna marry Dead Scott because there's probably some life insurance involved.
Yeah, maybe.
Which will allow me to probably buy a car of equal or greater value than Mondale. Avoiding this whole marrying a car thing is weird. That's just odd. So, of course, I'll marry the dog situation solved.
Thanks so much for wasting our time.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network. Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 Minis. Today's topic is best post-show careers.
This topic comes to us from David T. Cole.
Uh-huh.
What do you want to know, Dave?
I want to know, out of the major players of the show, Hills 90210.
Yeah, season one opening credit cast.
Who has had, in your estimation, the best, and best being very subjective, post-show career?
Well, I have an answer, but Sarah, why don't you go first?
This is probably going to be a little bit controversial, but I'm going to go with Gabrielle Carteris because, first of all, she bailed while there was still time. Second of all, she was right in the middle of that wave of, like, people who tried to have a talk show and it failed, but that didn't really stick to her as much as it did to some other people, like Chevy Chase or whoever else. Like, it seems like everyone tried to do it and it didn't work for anyone.
Yeah, Jane Pratt, Tempest Bledsoe, others.
Oh my God, Jane Pratt.
Yeah, for a second.
God, I just drifted off into how much she has been annoying me since like 1998. Anyway. And now she's the president of SAG, and she looks really not much older.
No, she looks great
on the show.
Yep, agree.
That tends to happen when you're born 37.
That's true.
Yes, that's true. But yeah, I think she sort of, I don't know, was a hard worker, did what she had to do, left the industry for a while, came back, and is, you know, pro-labor and into that. So good for her.
She was going to be my pick for all of those reasons. So instead, I will zag, and I'm going to say good old Shannon Doherty. Yes, she did get fired from Charmed eventually, also another Aaron Spelling production, but she did get on it. It's a show that a lot of people really loved. And launched many people's careers, as I recall. And that was pretty impressive. And she even came back for the 90210 reboot. And I respect her for that. And she's fighting cancer like a boss. And so there's that, too.
And she's a big animal adoption person.
She is.
Has a whole herd of dogs, and yep. they are all adorable.
If you follow her on social media, you will see a lot of urgent dogs of Miami pics that will make you sad, but also make you proud that she's standing up for animal rights to this day.
Me?
Sure.
Okay, mine is Ian Ziering, mm-hmm. because of the three times I have been to the Griddle Cafe in Los Angeles. He has been there twice.
Yep.
And he seemed to be really enjoying himself. He definitely was running the room. He seemed to be entertaining friends at the Griddle House the way people like Frank Sinatra probably entertain people in Vegas, except it was around pancakes. It seemed to me like he was living his best life at that time, which was about 10, 15 years ago now.
Yeah.
And it left such an impression on me that even though he definitely hasn't had the best career of the group post-show, I think he is living his best life.
He's got the Sharknado franchise every year with one of those.
I understand he's doing okay. He's a star who dances.
Yeah, he's going to be on Battle of the Network Stars later this month as well.
So there you go.
But I also
he gave many entertaining talking heads during the last season of Celebrity Apprentice that I forced myself to watch about how Geraldo was a kook balloons. I mean, so is Ian Ziering, but that's fine.
I also like to think that of the times that, like, maybe he only went to the Griddle Cafe twice, and both of those times he was like, why is that couple always there?
And why is everybody at that table taking very weird angle selfies?
Thanks so much for wasting our time.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network. Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This Minis, Beverly Hills 90210. Today's topic is soap tropes. Yes, soap tropes.
Hello. Welcome to another Again With This Mini. This topic comes to us from TV329 on our forums at previously.tv, and he writes, the show has tackled plenty of classic soap tropes, illicit affairs, drug addictions, and, coming soon, secret siblings. What? But surely there are some they left on the bench in favor of stuff. What classic soap trope would you have liked the show to have taken on, and what characters would you have involved in the story? Sarah.
Well, I decided, my first pick was secret twins. And then it was we can't really do that. Because the whole premise of the show, once upon a time, was, unsecret twins. So I decided to go with a Manchurian candidate sleeper agent type of story, like Grant Putnam / Andrew / Yuri and drop off to sleep or whatever his Russian name was, where the least predictable character and most corn-fed and sweet-seeming possible is a sleeper agent for some fictional Eastern European secret police force a la the DVX on General Hospital. This would seem to indicate that Donna would be that character, but it would just be so much spy stuff that I decided I would much rather see Nat be a sleeper agent, if for no other reason than it would explain how he's able to give away 75% of the meals at the Peach Pit for free. It's not a real business. It's a Russian front. That's actually why it was saved from whatever the mall developers. It was an intercession on the diplomatic level. Anyway. That is my wish. Tara.
Well, the show has certainly recast characters with different actors. It's already happened with Grandma Rose, and I believe Donna's original dad is going to be replaced in later seasons as well. But they've never done the character gets plastic surgery to have a completely different, unrecognizable face. And though Tori Spelling is trying, and maybe she's the one who should undergo it and come back as Randy, who's to say? And then honorable mention to Amnesia, because I sometimes wish I could forget everything that happened after Brenda's departure from the show.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network. Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This Minis. Today's topic, award-winning eight.
This topic comes to us from Giovanni Bien, who writes, if you were to recast the original eight with Emmy or Oscar-winning actors, who would it be And how would the show have changed? Honestly, I only wrote who it would be because that took up a lot of energy. There was a lot of research to this one. So can we do this over, Dave? I'm just going to cut the last part of that question.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This Minis. Today's topic is the award-winning 888.
Today's topic comes to us from Giovanni Bien, who writes, if you were to recast the original eight with Emmy or Oscar winning actors, who would they be? Let's go down the list, starting with our queen, Brenda. Sarah, who did you pick?
I cast her with Vivian Leigh. It's sort of like a pair with Kelly. So
okay.
that choice will become evident. She is a raven-haired schemer, so there's that.
Well, we can jump ahead to Kelly. Mine was Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who's very good at playing anger and a multiple Emmy winner. All right, my Kelly was Jennifer Aniston, who I think also an Emmy winner for Friends, has a lot of Kelly-esque qualities as Rachel, even though I love Rachel and Jen both. Who was your pair for Vivian Leigh for Kelly?
Olivia de Havilland, of course.
Of course.
The blonder sister, and there was just like a big, it's still ongoing, I think.
Right.
Even though Vivian Leigh has been dead a while, I'm sure Olivia de Havilland is still like that bitch. So yeah, those are my picks.
All right, Brandon, I have Jeff Daniels, except in character as Will McAvoy from The Newsroom. Sarah, who did you have?
He's much too tall, Tara.
I know, that's
true. I naturally chose Al Pacino because he's very good at braying and is very tiny.
Excellent. Dylan, who was your pick?
Daniel Day-Lewis, because cobbling is totally the kind of thing that Dylan would do.
Oh my God, that's probably what he's doing right now. Mine was Heath Ledger, rest in peace, Oscar winner for Batman, The Dark Knight.
Yes.
Also brooding, lots of problems, and didn't end well for him, but in a different way. Moving on, because that's awkward, Donna. I went with Deborah Messing, also a physical comedian and an Emmy winner for Will and Grace. Who was yours?
I was really torn, so I did two. One was Renee Zellweger, because I think there is a commonality with Tori Spelling vis-a-vis unrecognizable transformations.
True.
Eyelid lifts, but then I kind of felt like, I'm going to go with Tilda Swinton because she also looks like an alien and could actually make the stuff funny, in my opinion.
Excellent. Steve, who was yours?
Philip Seymour Hoffman. I have no reason for that. I just miss that guy, and I think he would have done a really good job.
I went with Matthew McConaughey, who's also very laid back in the way that Steve is and also problematic in a lot of ways that his fans try to overlook, me included. Andrea, who did you go with?
present day Dame Judi Dench.
Well, I decided to consider Melissa Leo because they've both had crispy auburn hair in the past. And finally, David, your choice.
This one is just for you. And particularly, this will be useful during the meth arc and the manic phase arc, Roberto Benigni.
Oh, I wish we'd closed with that.
I know you can't wait to see that. Who is yours?
Mine, I went with Leonardo DiCaprio, who similarly pencil-necked and baby-faced. He would have been better for the early years of David, not so much the end.
Very good. Nice list. This is Again With This Minis. Today's topic is Who Are We Now? And now your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
V329 writes, back in the season one run of episodes, you both talked about your historically favorite and least favorite characters and also who your Beverly Hills 90210 analogs are. Perhaps an update on where those stand in this era of the show. Sarah, who are you now?
Who am I now?
Yeah.
I don't know what my analog is, so I'll just do that last. I think my favorite character at this point in the series is Steve.
Okay.
Because he's just like he's trying to have fun. Occasionally he does something cute or has it like gif-able moment. Mm-hmm. And he's like the least enraging, basically. So like actively my favorite, maybe not, but doesn't make me want to punch him to death. Consistently true.
All right.
Who is your favorite at the moment?
Yeah, mine is also who I am the most like, probably, which is Claire, the judgmental jerk smarty pants who speaks French. that's me, alas. It's an upgrade from Andrea, I suppose, especially now that she's got that LPGA haircut. But I see where you're going with Steve, too. He is incredibly gif-able. And least favorite character, duh, Brandon.
Mine is Kelly.
Oh.
And I guess my analog is months. I don't even know. Probably Claire.
Mm-hmm.
Could be months.
Yeah, going around a lot, spraying people in the face with booze from a water gun. Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now
great.
I am.
All right.
Gotta go.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network. Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This Minis. This week's topic is Where Are They Now? And speaking of they, here's Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
This topic comes to us from Caitlin_PH, who asks, what are the characters doing in 2017? For example, is Donna Martin leading the return to abstinence-only sex education in the Trump administration? Where are they now? Sarah, start us off.
Shall we alternate characters?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
I have Kelly running a vocal fry rehabilitation clinic.
I have Kelly married a much older rich guy and will be a Real Housewives of Beverly Hills cast member 2 seasons from now.
Ooh, yes, I cannot disagree. Donna is the assistant head of a beauty school.
I have Donna's fashion brand couldn't keep up with the time, so she transitioned to home goods.
Okay. Claire works at a think tank in Finland.
Claire is a Nobel Prize winning mathematician.
Okay. Nat is in debtor's prison.
Nat died in debtor's prison is what I have.
Are you kidding? Great minds.
Dark.
Steve died in a tragic t-shirt cannon-related accident in 2009.
Steve worked his way up, thanks to nepotism, to be a middling producer, just like Rush.
Mm-hmm. David is Vanilla Ice's stand-in for reshoots on Vanilla Ice's HGTV show.
David is a wedding/bar mitzvah DJ.
Val is Lady Gaga.
Oh, shit, I forgot Val. Yeah, I agree with that. Val is Lady Gaga for sure.
And Brandon is Ted Cruz.
That's better than mine. Brandon abandoned newspapers and slid into marketing.
On an oil slick. Did you have, I think you had a Brenda and Dylan as well?
I had a few classics. Brenda teaching high school drama in many ways. Dylan has written 3 novellas that have collectively sold 650 copies and is now working on a Kindle single. And Andrea is a successful surgeon divorced from Jesse.
Yay!
Yay!
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network. Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Everybody, this is Again With This Minis. Today's topic is LA Swap Meet with your host, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bate.
Hello. Today's mini topic comes to us from TV329 from the Previously.tv forums, who writes, swap a season 7 90210 character for one from Melrose Place, assumedly all seasons. Sarah, what is your trade?
Well, at first I was tempted to swap Mark, who was boring, for Kimberly, who was not. And then I was tempted to swap Kelly for literally anyone, or Mark for Jake, so that Kelly could have someone, you know, interesting looking to fuck.
Mm-hmm.
But what I settled upon, much as it pains me to bid her breasts farewell, I'm swapping Valerie for Sydney. Because Sydney actually knows how to scheme and doesn't care if people like her, really. She just wants to scheme and get things she needs, and she's very good at it, if I recall correctly. It has been quite some time. Who did you swap?
Well, I didn't do it for my choice had nothing to do with what the characters would want or appreciate, so it's completely about me.
Fair.
Which is why I decided to trade David, not cute, really annoying, a dick, tiresome, for Jake, cute, good hair, nice smile, would fuck, really no choice, in my opinion.
I've got one.
Checks out.
Yeah. Okay. So from Melrose Place, I have no idea what episode it's from, but it's that salad in the morning
in the
beach house that's sitting on the counter.
Yeah.
And that is replacing the cucumber that Brandon is slowly, slowly cutting, like forever. He has no idea how to cut a cucumber, and he's helping. He's helping in the same way Bart Simpson helps with the cranberry sauce at Thanksgiving.
Legit.
So at least I think it was a Thanksgiving episode, whatever Brandon was making. At least the people will eat at that meal.
There you go.
Yep.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network. Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. This is Again with the Spinnies. Today's topic is fashion don'ts. And now here are your hosts, Arianna Saldubatin.
For this week's Again with this mini, Rachel Hartslit asks us to list the three least favorite fashion trends that afflicted the show's cast. Sarah, this was very easy for me. Was it for you?
No, because I had a complete choice paralysis meltdown and had to like go back and look at visual aids from the last few seasons. Fortunately, I was able to refresh my memory. Shall I begin?
Sure.
My first one is for the dudes, and it's those saturated, colored, beefy tees with the little sleeves rolled up and tucked into pale jeans with no belt.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You?
Well, there were too many for me to list over all of the years of the show, so I confined it to just season 7. So the first of mine is Donna's very Baroque hairstyles, style in the largest air quotes possible, of course.
I also objected to belly shirts.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve occasionally wears them too. So that's really a unisex objection.
True. This is one that comes up in almost every episode that he's in. So almost every episode, David's gigantic quadruple XL clothing that never fits and flaps in the breeze.
And my last one is sort of random, but this was definitely a thing. Like, I was alive at the time and shopping in thrift stores for sort of like turn of the 80s roller disco trash chic. So like a lot of polyester and like old school Adidas. Mostly this is Claire who wears this stuff, but
And like shiny spandex.
Yeah. Pleather pants. She looks as good as anyone is going to, but the look just has not aged well.
Indeed. Well, my final one is another one that I was also guilty of, which is platform Frankenstein shoes.
Oh, yeah. Same.
Yeah. Very bad on Donna in the Las Vegas episode a couple of weeks ago. But yeah, in general, just always everyone clomping around. And I had 5 million pairs of them myself. So I come by my hatred, honestly.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network. Previously.tv Podcast Network.
This is Again with This Minis. Today's topic is brains with your host, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Butting.
Today's mini comes to us from at JJ Johnson author on Twitter, and he or she writes, in a zombie apocalypse, in what order would the characters die and how? Horde, suicide? Please include Dylan and Brenda Wash. Sarah, what is your order? Please run it down.
Okay. Nat dies first because he offers free brains at the Peach Pit and is completely overcome in minutes after everyone is turned. Okay. Brandon is next because they hear Bray and don't really think it through past that. They just assume that it's brains and they eat him. Also, he's tiny. But because he was only a little snack, Dylan tries to whale them over the head with a Norton anthology, but he is scrawny and can barely lift it. So he gets et next. Val and David get et next after that because they fail to realize that the crowd at the Peach Pit After Dark is actually composed entirely of undead people. So they wade onto the dance floor and are eaten. Claire is surrounded. Oh, no, excuse me. Steve is surrounded going on that one last beer run before all the beer in Los Angeles is looted. Surviving are Claire because she's smart. Donna because she has no brain and is therefore immune to the zombies. And Brenda because she is mean slash stubborn. So they live and are last seen on top of an RV eating cookies and being cool. What is your order?
All right. Dawn is killed first because she's a simpleton with no survival skills.
Fair.
David is next, throwing himself in their path since without Donna to defend him to everyone he knows, he has no reason to go on. But since their brains are barely a snack, they are soon followed by Brandon, who thinks he can stop the zombie horde with his awesome powers of persuasion and or the force of his personality. Brenda has the sense to flee the area at this point and happily lives out the rest of her life on a landlocked zombie-free island. This leaves Kelly to be the queen bee in her stead, but she soon finds out the hard way that she can't baby talk the zombies into letting her live. Claire and Andrea are both next because their brains are the biggest and juiciest. Dylan takes cover in the Peach Pit, of course, because he co-owns it. But since Nat can't even let zombies go hungry and throws the doors open, they're next, leaving Val and her amazing boobs to be the mother of a new generation of survivors.
Oh, I forgot Kelly. So here is my Kelly done on the fly is that she is bitten quickly and turns, but then she dies of starvation because she has a teeny tiny cat butt mouth and she can't eat anyone's brains except through a straw. And ain't nobody got time for that. This is not iZombie.
All right. I got a few. I don't know about these until they happen. So this is not complete, but I'll just tell you the ways they die. How about
okay.
That?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So Donna dies because they think she's got two brains in her chest. Can't figure out what those things are. David survives because he's got those dope dance moves that he can go in between all the zombies as they shamble towards him.
Yep.
Oh, I was going to say it could be because of his giant clothing that they're trying to gnaw through an XXXXXL polo shirt. And they're like, fine, fuck this.
Yeah, but it could backfire on him because it could be sort of like a bullfighter situation where his clothes are so big they attract the zombies.
Yeah, true.
Brandon dies trying to interview the zombies to find out to find out why with a capital W. Kelly dies because she doesn't notice the zombies are eating her because she's doing coke. Right? She was the one who's doing coke for a while.
She was, yes.
Brenda survives until the events of 28 weeks later, which I think took place in France.
In England. In England. No,
but at the end, don't they go over the channel?
I don't remember, but
I think they do.
It doesn't matter. She lives in England.
Oh, okay. Well, then she got it about a week before that then.
Yeah.
Okay, so she's dead.
Yep.
And nobody has, this is telling, guys, but nobody talked about Andrea.
I did.
Oh, did you? Oh,
I said Claire and Andrea both got eaten together because they have the biggest, juiciest brains.
Sorry.
And, anyway,
I'm trying to figure out how Nat survives because I think the world needs free food, even if it's like he sets up somehow he becomes. OK, here's what happens. Nat is still giving away stuff in the zombie apocalypse. And because of his generosity and because his Peach Pit becomes a rallying center because people hear about it, a sanctuary, he actually becomes leader of the humans. After the zombie apocalypse, and he actually becomes like a real kick-ass like Buffy the Vampire Slayer style warrior king. And those are my picks.
I was going to go with the Mega Burr Governor, but sure.
And Steve, for some reason, is he's got like a collar and a chain around him, and he has to sit at Nat's throne. I don't know why. But
a little kinky, Dave.
Stud Mania out of control.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network. Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This Minis. Today's topic, 90210. Oh, no, she better don't. And now here are your hosts, our Arianna Zerlibatini.
Can I just pronounce that the way it was supposed to be, which was 90210? Oh, no, she better don't.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
I know, but I offered to say it, so you didn't have to, and you refused.
I kind of feel like Dave's flat reading of that was the entire mini, and we really don't need to continue, but here we all are, so let's go.
All right, thank you. Today's topic comes to us from at Jeff Rundell on Twitter, who asks, how would the show be different if most of the major characters were gay? For instance, who'd be involved in love triangles and how would they have resolved? I have a few different points. Sarah, shall we trade back and forth? I assume you have more than one.
Yes, I do. So
please,
why
go
don't
first.
You begin?
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Polite fight. You go first.
I just assume Donna would have no storylines because she's a Catholic angel who doesn't truckle and that sort of thing.
Okay.
What is your first actual one?
Andrea wouldn't have to worry about the ruse of Grandma Rose's because after one date with Brenda, she'd be moving in.
I had Brenda and her and Shannon Doherty's gazillion dogs moving in with Val because would watch.
Yep. Brandon and Dylan would, of course, be the OTP with Steve forever pining unrequitedly for Brandon, which he kind of already does now.
Yeah, that's why I put Steve and Brandon together. And then I had them in all sorts of adoption dramas.
Steve's cropped shirts would be cropped even shorter.
I had a similar thing, but for David, who would actually be wearing the right size clothes because of a more body con.
I didn't think of that, but that's a great point. Brandon would dance if he were gay.
Ooh, okay. I only have one more, and stay with me here, but Mel has always pinged my gaydar a little bit, so I had some, like, Baroque Liberace and Scott Thorson thing with him and Dylan. Except instead of being a pianist, he's a dentist. And there's lots of jokes about oral exams.
Wow. And given that Luke Perry played Riff Raff in Rocky Horror Show on Broadway, so that one's not that far out of the realm of possibility.
Right. Just saying. Did you have any others?
Nope. That's it. Thank you, Jeff.
One.
Oh, Dave's got some.
If the guardian angel star was gay, it would have shone that much brighter.
This
has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network. Come on, shut up.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This Minis. Today's mini episode title thingy. Oh, fuck it. This is Again With This Minis. Today's mini topic is Your Parachute Is Brown. And now your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Today's mini topic comes to us from at Fulham Mom on Twitter, who asks, Brandon's offered another job he's unqualified to take. What is it and how does it go wrong? Sarah.
Oh, boy. Well, I figured that on the strength of his Brayer Fellowship or whatever it was called essay, naturally, the Minnesota Twins would not be able to wait to plunk him down in their front office as a special assistant to the general manager, where he prepares poorly written scouting reports that nobody can understand thanks to all the run-on sentences, insists on trying to solve racism by drafting players of color who
don't even play a sport, have already been accepted to law school elsewhere, and certainly want nothing to do with Brandon's bullshit. Scorches his co-workers' retinas by showing around photos of his former coaching colleague, quote-unquote, Dylan McKay, in his stick insect uniform pants, and dicks up the draft day whiteboard with his 18 bracelets. But it all works out for everyone, because you know who's in the market for just this sort of Napoleonic amateurishness? The New York Metropolitan Bullpen coaching staff. Welcome, Brandon Walsh. What? Dara.
Oh, mine.
Wait,
is
I got one you can slip in here.
Okay, go ahead, Dave.
Okay. Brandon Walsh is hired by the Greek embassy in, let's say, Washington, D.C., to be one of their line cooks. And on the very first day, there is an important meeting with representatives from the beginning of the European Union. Mm-hmm. And they're all there to meet Greece.
Yep.
And he has to make a Greek salad. But he takes so long to cut the cucumbers that the salad really doesn't come out in time. All the representatives from the EU are extremely disappointed. They refuse to lend Greece the money back here in the 90s, leading to all of Greece's troubles this decade, all because of Brandon Walsh doesn't know how to cut a cucumber. I mean,
Okay.
Global implications.
Yeah.
Learn how to cut a cucumber.
Well,
you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Right. Mine's very short compared to either of yours. Brandon thinks his elevator stuff qualifies him as a midwife, but he quickly finds out that difficult labor can't be addressed by yelling at it.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv podcast network. Previously.tv podcast network.
Hello, this is Again With His Minis. Today's topic is Best One and Dones. Now your hosts, Tara and Sarah.
No last names for the minis. Nope. Hi, Sarah.
Hello, Tara and Dave.
Today's topic comes to us from at Channel Lorla on Twitter. And she asks, which one episode character do we most wish had stuck around longer? So she specified one episode, so it can't be Deshaun, but he is still number one in my heart. Sarah, who was your pick?
I actually had to like do some research because I had this like, you know, going to Tower Records and your mind empties of all the CDs that you want to buy thing with this. And I was like, who was a one and done that I even liked? I kept thinking of people, and then I was like, oh no, there were a few episodes or it was an arc and Deshaun came up. RIP. Just kidding. I assume he's not dead. But I went with Susan's mother, Mrs. Keats. And then
yes.
My mind went to, because she was a super bitch to Brandon.
She was.
Lightly.
Yep.
And then my mind went to this really weird fanfic spinoff place with her and Felice. Like mom eye for the straight guy or something, just like them sitting around drinking Chardonnay and making fun of the show. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not sure how it would work, but I just feel like they would be watching Donna's plot lines, both of them being like, oh Christ. So I don't know. I like them both because they're salty. And even though Felice has been horribly rude lately, I'm always here for it because it's directed at Donna. So mm-hmm. Yeah, I think she and Mrs. Keats should team up. And that is my pick. Tara, who did you have?
I'm into it. My pick is Charisse Ash, the popcorn heiress
who crashed
into Brandon's car, played by Vivica A. Fox.
Totally.
She was delightful. She called him on his shit. She did not want to be called Reese. She dressed great. And she was right there in the neighborhood. It's very strange when you think about it that she never came up again. But that is my pick. And just because I went to IMDb to get confirmation because I couldn't remember if it was Charisse or Charisse. It's Charisse. The part that she played two credits later, also Charisse on a show called Out All Night, except spelled differently. And the part after that, Patrice. Two parts after that, Charlene. So she was really in a lane in the 90s. But yeah, Charisse, RIP, your red car, your red jacket, and your awesome red hat. We miss you still.
You're both true. Wrong. It's the ghost bus from the Christmas special.
Shut up, Dave.
It's not the abused kid who thinks it sucks.
Oh, yeah, right. I considered him.
It sucks.
Yep.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv podcast network. Previously.tv podcast network.
Everybody, this is Again With This Minis. Today's episode is Brand Dead Walsh. And now here are your hosts, Tara and Sarah.
Today's topic comes to us from at The Crazed Spruce on Twitter, who writes, Brandon's corpse ends up on a current CW show. Which show? Who killed him? How and why? Sarah, please go ahead.
Well, obviously, he has to make his corpsey debut in a flash forward as he's floating downstream past a sex picnic on Riverdale. Just as obviously, he was killed by Fred Andrews, a.k.a. Luke Perry, for threatening to expose irregularities in Fred's permitting procedures in a front page story for the Riverdale Blaze, which a lot of parents are alleged to read. Fred hammered him head down into the grass on the town green, then took his place at the head of a parade in his honor for murdering Brandon Walsh. Tara, what you got?
Paula's problem-solving skills are put to their toughest test yet when Rebecca's latest Tinder date leads her to an address where a dead Brandon Walsh is nestled behind a large plant on the front stoop on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, before calling any authorities that might suspect the corpse's last hookup as his most likely murderer. Paula tries to figure out how West Beverly alumnus Brandon ended up in West Covina, and after enlisting the other members of Rebecca's squad in the investigation, they determine that the former newspaper publisher, having fallen on hard times, was reviewing Cup of Boba on spec, the hopes of landing a freelance gig at Thrillist. When he tried to tell the proprietress she was making his order wrong, she stabbed him in the eye with one of those fat straws, then tried to frame Rebecca for it because Rebecca's always hanging around using the free Wi-Fi and never leaving a tip.
Brandon Walsh is on Flash. Even though he is dead, he tries to stop Barry Allen from running in the halls of the school.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv podcast network. Previously.tv podcast network.
Everybody, this is Again With This Minis.
No, that's not how I do it.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This Beverly Hills 90210 Minis. Now, it is... Fuck.
Been there.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This Minis. Today's topic is Beverly Glee 90210. And now your hosts, Tara and Sarah.
Beverly Hills 90210.
What'd I say?
Beverly Glee.
That's what I said.
No, it's Beverly Glee, not Beverly Glee.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This Minis. Today's topic is Beverly Glee 90210.
Hills. This comes to us.
Beverly. No, Beverly. Wait, we're going to do this, guys. Here we go. Oh, boy. This is Again With This Minis. Today's topic is Beverly Hills 90210.
Yeah!
Oh my god. Oh, I think I pulled a muscle laughing.
My god. At that. You guys are so hello. Hot. At Stargazing B on Twitter writes,
I'm leaving all that in, by the way.
What?
I'm leaving all that in.
Good.
I assumed that you would.
Thanks so much for wasting our time.
Damn it.
At
Stargazing B on Twitter writes, we've gone back in time and made 90210 a musical in the style of Glee. What is each character's signature number and why? We have not compared lists, so we don't know if we did the same people. So we will ping pong back and forth, in which case sometimes that will just be a foul. I'll go first. For Claire, I chose the Jackson 5's ABC because of her past as a tutor.
Oh, I like that. I did not pick Claire. I will begin with Brenda. Mm-hmm. Whatever Brenda wants, Brenda gets. And little man, little Brenda wants you.
Well, I also had Brenda.
I got one for Brenda too.
Okay. Yep.
Moving Out by Billy Joel. How many Billy Joel songs can I cram into this one?
We'll find out, I guess.
Brenda has actually two signature numbers: Losing My Religion, the soundtrack to her tragic breakup with Dylan, and Damn, I Wish I Was Your Lover, the soundtrack of her fucking with Dylan. For Val, I have I Touch Myself by the Divinyls, because I'm pretty sure no one else knows how to do it as well as she can.
I will note here that I used actual songs from actual musicals. And it did not occur to me that I could branch out beyond that, which is probably just as well. I couldn't choose for Val between June is busting out all over and Shuffle Off to Buffalo. So she could take her choice.
All right.
For Val, because of all our scheming, I'm going to go with Easy Money by Billy Joel.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. For Steve, I have the Randy Newman classic, I Love L.A., because he's Steve and he doesn't know it's ironic.
I struggled with Steve, so I went with Good Night, Ladies. Mm-hmm. Good night, yep. Ladies.
Sure.
Captain Jack, obviously.
Captain Jack will get you high tonight, yep. Or soon.
You just sit home, stay at home and masturbate.
For David, I chose Cop Killer because he thinks he's a badass.
I went with A Beat Behind from Goodbye Girl. He sucks.
Okay. Piano Man because of that
of
keyboard
course.
Solo.
Naturally.
In that one episode.
Yep. I would like you to know I spent a good 10 to 12 minutes searching for songs for musicals with the word precious in the title.
Of course you
no
did.
No joy. So listeners, if there's one I overlooked, and I'm sure there is, please let me know about it.
In your honor, we can slightly augment the song Pressure by Billy Joel.
Yes.
Are you pressure to me?
All right. For Donna, I have Like a Virgin because she doesn't know what it's actually about.
There is a song in Hair called Donna, but I decided to adapt an Oklahoma song. I'm Just a Girl Who Can Say No. And does.
Nice.
Daily.
Dave.
I wasn't paying attention. Who's this?
Donna.
Oh, Donna. Come back to me.
Only the Good Die Young.
Mm.
It's about trying to have sex with a Catholic girl.
Right. Yeah.
Comedy Tonight.
Back to me.
I can't believe you're not going to give me this just because you didn't think of it. Of course, it's Only the Good Die Young. Come on.
Okay. All right. Only the Good Die Young it is.
Kelly, You're So Vain, because she has to string everyone along forever.
Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. So does everyone on the show.
Baby Grand, because of her voice.
Yes. Nice.
Dylan, Killing an Arab by the Smiths, because it's literary. Or not the Smiths, sorry. The Cure.
Old Man River.
Dylan, eh?
Yep.
I Go to Extremes?
Sure.
Okay.
You did.
Yeah.
And finally, our...
Big Shot. Big Shot.
Big Shot, yeah, that's good. Big Shot. Last on my list is Brandon, and I have Suspicious Minds, because he can't resist a terrible Elvis impression.
Ooh, good one. I was tempted to go with Shall We Dance, for obvious reasons. The answer is always no.
Yep.
But in the end... And it pains me to do this because I named my little white smart car based on this song because she's small and white, but so is Brandon. And obviously his signature song is Bradle Vice. I also have some for Andrea.
Oh, okay. Please.
Old Man River, Younger Than Springtime. And of course, Anything You Can Do, I Can Do Better.
Uh-huh. Nice.
Yeah.
For Brandon, I have to go with An Innocent Man.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Also A Matter of Trust. Both seemed like things that he would bring up.
Mm-hmm.
That part I'm going to edit.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network. Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This Minis. Today's topic is Shit Happens or Doesn't. And now here are your host, Terry Anderson.
Today's topic comes to us from at Lynn Warner on Twitter, who writes, which two Bev Niners would you have wanted to get together but didn't? And which couples should we have not had to endure? Sarah, which two would you have liked to see hook up?
Well, I think we may have picked the same one, so I do have a backup in case you also selected Donna and Deshaun.
Oh, good
they
one.
They were adorable. I mean, Deshaun had chemistry with everyone, including Tables, and kind of Brandon a little.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, that is my number one pick. Did you also choose Donna and Deshaun?
I did not. Huh. This is going to shock you. Brandon and Andrea.
Huh.
And here's why. Clearly the show was, and I've said this before, clearly the show was like, had them as some kind of end game in mind. It would kept pushing them together in their, you know, some kind of wonderful way. But then Gabrielle Carteris got pregnant for real and he couldn't have fathered a baby out of wedlock. So I think that plan got scuttled between their prom and whatever season came after that four. But she was the only one who ever called Brandon on his shit of all of his girlfriends. Like maybe Susan kind of, but she's not really a gangster, so I don't count her particularly. So I would have liked to see Brandon go up against someone who was actually going to tell him he was bullshit sometimes.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, they had zero chemistry, unfortunately, and also free Andrea. But yeah, I could see that.
All right.
She was in my second choice pairing.
Oh, guess? Is that
her
what you said?
Steve.
Oh, yeah. I figured. Yep. And I stand by that. We talked about that before on the podcast. Yeah, they would have been good.
Yep.
I got one.
Oh.
Mondale in the earthquake pinball machine. Oh, just think of the babies they would make.
PSPs?
little PSPs, yes.
All right. Which couple did get together that never should have, Sarah?
Oh, my God. I mean, where to start? I mean, my number one was Brandon and Tracy because, I mean, she's pathetic. He doesn't love her. And it's still going on. Like, please break up. Please. Maybe it's just because this is the most recent, but it's like, what couple did I not end up hating? Like none of them.
That answer was well thought out, but I'm just letting you know that's incorrect. Now, Tara, go.
Brandon and Kelly, they're both shitheads separately and somehow together their shithead powers multiply exponentially. They're terrible as a couple. All of their dumb, smug faces every time they were judging anyone. God, I hate them. They're the fucking worst.
Agree.
Is that the correct answer, Dave?
No, well, that's also incorrect. You guys are just approaching this from the wrong angle. You got to sort of back to the future this. Eliminate all the problems at the source, which is the couple that should have got together is Jim and Carol.
Jim and Cindy.
Eliminating the whole show. Entirely.
Okay.
Thank you.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network. Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Hello,
everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 Minis. Today's episode is Oh Ponce, You Are a Regular Character.
Now here are your hosts, Sarah D. Bunting and Tara Ariano. Hello, Sarah.
Hello, yeah, Tara. Yeah. And other person.
Today's mini topic comes to us from at Turnuck JT on Twitter, who writes, pitch an episode of 90210 in which one or more of the gang have been replaced by a character from Clone High. Sarah, why don't you start us off?
I didn't really pitch an episode so much as wish that Val would be replaced by Cleo.
Yep.
At times, because as much as I like Val, her villainy is very inconsistently explained and applied. And Cleo is very consistent. She does not give a fuck about anything but herself and being pretty. And she would be a far worthier adversary for Kelly, in my opinion. So that is my choice. Cleo replacing Val. What did you have?
It's true. She is the best of the best of the best of the best of the best. I have a brief synopsis. No sooner has Andrea forestalled her impeachment as editor of the Blaze than she feels her niche at West Beverly at risk of being usurped by another nerdy feminist, Joan of Arc. But the two end up bonding over an unfortunate character trait they share, attraction to trifling, flat-headed dudes who don't know they exist. Elsewhere, Dylan wonders whether he, like his AP English classmate Ponce de Leon, should try rocking puffy pants. Yeah, Ponce's pants.
I have some. Proof.
You guys should have let me know about this one. This is totally, I totally could have done everybody.
Sorry, but Dave. Off you should top be of reading head. The docs, which you are shared on.
Yeah, I don't need to read the docs. I just, yeah.
Apparently you do. I advise you to try it.
All right. Anyways, Nat is Toots.
Dick.
Yep.
The bus from the Christmas episode is Doug Prep Course.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And the cucumber that Brandon is cutting, which I'm obsessed with, now becomes a lamb taco.
That's just I thought you were going to say head. The watermelon that gets smacked in Joan of Arc's student film.
Yes.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This Minis. Today's topic is sliding dorks with your hosts, Tara and Sarah.
Today's topic comes to us from at Kimberly L. Hudson on Twitter, who writes, have a character make a different major life choice. How do things change? Sarah.
Sorry, I was just laughing at the mini theme again, because I'm a simpleton, much like the character I selected, Donna. I did struggle with this one because so many of the options available seem to wind up at a major character having been killed as a result of their new choices, and that just seemed like a cop-out. So here's what I went with. Donna doesn't really make a different choice so much as she stays more in character as she was very early in the show, in the first half of season one. Mm-hmm. She's more of a party animal and more boy crazy. So she loses her virginity before the show even starts. So we can skip all the goofy Donna's, beleaguered / saintly virgin stuff in favor of her and Val being trampy besties and going to the strip and picking up dudes, and there would be a lot of cute guest stars, and it would be way more fun than this moist simpering that we have to sit through as it is. And also, I think, she would be way less hung up on David, in quote unquote gratitude for his sticking with her, even though she's a virgin, which I don't think is helpful to their relationship because he sucks. Who did you have?
You're not going to believe this, Sarah. I also had Donna in my reimagining. Donna has sex with David the night she doesn't take her antihistamine right after their second dating anniversary. She figures out that having premarital sex has not ended her life, and when she's able to compare notes with her female friends, that David sucks at it. She dumps David, kicks him out of the apartment, and starts dating Deshaun. David slinks off to sponge off his grandparents in Palm Springs, and we never saw him again.
Put it in the books.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network. Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This Minis. Today's topic is most likely to suck. Hey, look, it's Tara and Sarah.
Shut up. This topic comes to us from at erogburn on Twitter, who writes, what would the gangsters pick as their yearbook quotes? What do we each think they should be? Sarah, let's run down the list, starting with the great, departed, but not forgotten, Brenda Walsh. I have for what she would pick, if you're going to do something wrong, do it big because the punishment is the same either way, Jane Mansfield. And as what it should be, I have one that was unattributed that I found on Pinterest. Don't fall for a dog who has eyes for every bitch.
Okay, I misunderstood this assignment and only did one for each, but mine for her was from Judy Traynor of Edith Wharton's The House of Mirth, who once said, for always getting what she wants in the long run, commend me to a nasty woman.
What he would pick, I'm an idealist without illusions, John F. Kennedy. What he should pick, I actually don't have a bad hairline, Donald Trump.
I picked an Aaron Sorkin quote for obvious reasons, but also because it is this: don't ever forget that a small group of thoughtful people can change the world. It's the only thing that ever has. So not only is he quoting Aaron Sorkin, but Aaron Sorkin is lifting the quote from, I believe, Margaret Mead. So double jeopardy of douche.
Nice. All right, Kelly, what she would pick, when I'm good, I'm very good, but when I'm bad, I'm better, Mae West. What she should pick, so basically I don't know what I'm talking about, but maybe I do, Jenny McCarthy.
I had, if youth knew, if age could, Sigmund Freud.
All right, Dylan McKay, if moderation is a fault, then indifference is a crime, Jack Kerouac. What he should pick... I really hate to write, also Jack Kerouac. These are all real, by the way. I looked them up. Unless the site that I was using was unattributed, these are real quotes.
I considered doing that quote from Woody Allen where he says writing is easy. You just stare at the typewriter until blood drops come out on your forehead. But what I actually picked was, of course, Lord Byron, who said, they never fail who die in a great cause.
Ah, good one.
Barf.
All right. Steve Sanders would pick, life is too short to be living somebody else's dream, Hugh Hefner. Should pick, I never miss a chance to have sex or appear on television, Gore Vidal.
I love that that's Gore Vidal and not Donald Trump. Mine for Steve is from Washington Irving, they who drink beer will think beer. He will not see anything wrong with that. He'll think it's great.
Yep. Donna Martin. Would pick, you can have anything you want if you dress for it, Edith Head. Should pick, any girl can be glamorous, all you have to do is stand still and look stupid, Hedy Lamarr.
I also went with a stupid quote. Mine's from Ralph Waldo Emerson. It is one of the blessings of old friends that you can afford to be stupid with them.
True. All right, David Silver. You gotta be bad, you gotta be bold, you gotta be wiser, you gotta be hard, you gotta be tough, you gotta be stronger, Desiree. It's what he would pick. What he should pick, nothing tastes as good as skinny feels, Kate Moss.
Oh, God. Yeah, I just had the old, if music be the food of love, play on, quote.
Oh, sure.
Whichever
right, here's what we didn't have exactly the same list, so my final entry is Andrea. Would pick... True emancipation begins neither at the polls nor in courts. It begins in woman's soul. Should pick, my best birth control now is just to leave the lights on, Joan Rivers. Oh, sorry. First one, Emma Goldman. Second one, Joan Rivers.
My final quote is from Dead Scott. Ow.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network. Previously.tv Podcast Network.
everybody. This is Again with Fizz Minis. Today's episode is Just Kidding. And now here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, everybody. Today's topic is from me. I put this in the mini topic hopper ages ago, and it's pretty funny that it came up now after Joey's arc.
It's not funny. It came up that was purposeful.
Okay. I was wondering. Here's the topic. Name the five dumbest wiener kids on the show to date. Since we have not reached Carly, and that kid is a fairly dumb wiener. Not on the show all time, just to date. I'm interested to see where we overlap. Tara, please begin.
Okay. Here in no particular order. Obviously, Michael, the original dumb wiener kid, Kenny's son. We only see once or twice.
Forgot about him.
Erica, duh.
Oh, Erica.
The worst. That redhead kid who was the daughter of a producer who had a crush on Ray because Ray.
Yeah.
Do better, redhead kid. The teacher's brats that Brenda babysat while rifling through all his stuff in season one.
Uh-huh.
And finally, in a tie, all the little kids at Scott's doomed birthday party.
We didn't have any overlap at all. I had Erin Silver, who is always peril because she's a dumb wiener.
Yep. But the natural.
Hannah,
that was even too much emotion.
Yeah. Hannah Zuckerman Vasquez for ruining Andrea's life, basically. And also for never spitting up on anyone at a good time.
Yeah.
Sue Scanlon, because outfits, and also having any kind of crush on Gil or David or anyone on the show. Whatever little clueless Narbo from the Little League episode who forced us to witness Dylan's insect legs in his baseball pants. And finally, Donna.
That was zero crossover, I think.
Yeah. I can't believe I forgot Erica. Holy shit.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network. Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. This is Again with Fizz Minis. Today's episode is Tougher Love. And here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
This suggestion for a topic comes from Michelle Quain, who writes, which parents on other TV shows, past or present, would you most like to see put that braying asshat Brandon in his place? What would they do? Sarah.
I actually think that you should begin because my selection is a little like not traditionally. It's more of a godfather situation than a father situation.
Okay. All right. Well, I first have as an honorable mention, Jackie Taylor, who is not Brandon's parent, but if she were, would wither him with her mix of hot rage and amused disdain.
Uh-huh.
But my real answer is Empire's Cookie Lyon, who I would like to see beat Brandon with a broom like she did to her own kid in the series premiere. Ooh. Extremely justifiably.
Love it.
Please proceed.
My honorable mentions were Coach and Tammy Taylor, just because Coach would like run Brandon at two-a-days in August in Texas until he shriveled up like a tiny little mutant raisin and croaked. However, my actual pick is not a traditional family, but a crime family that he would be basically Jackie Jr. from The Sopranos. He would be bitch slapped by Tony. He would wet himself driving the getaway car, and then he would be murdered on his godfather's / stepfather's orders in a snowbank in Boonton, which seems like justice, at least for us, survivors of many, many seasons of praying.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network. Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. This is Again with This Beverly Hills 90210 Minis. Today's episode is San Quentin 94964. Yeah.
Yeah, I looked it up.
Man, my brain really wanted to do the original zip.
It's hard. It's hardwired into our brains at this point. Anyway, At Alone Together 82 on Twitter writes, a member of the gang is in prison. What did he or she do to get there, Sarah?
Well, realistically, it's probably Steve, because yet another harebrained rave-related scheme is inevitably going to result in a death, and he won't be able to wriggle out of this stuff forever. But what I'd like to see is Kelly for drug muling, or going on a Colin-style low-speed chase in which she knocks over a bunch of bollards and can't pay the restitution. And then it's Kelly is the new black. What you got?
Oh, David. Well, you know, his addictive personality, see, gambling earlier this season, I think. Was that even this season? It was so long ago. It could have been season 5.
Oh, God.
Whatever.
Yeah.
This season has been 5 million years long. David ran into money problems again and embezzled from the Peach Pit after dark. So plausible.
Yeah, that I think that actually might happen.
It very well could. I don't remember anything that happens from here until the end of the show, except David and Donna have sex. The end.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network. Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 Minis. Today's topic is Gang Watch. Here are your hosts, Tara and Sarah.
Today's topic comes to us from at Rob Hartman with two N's on Twitter. Rob is also our friend. You can hear him in Extra Hot Great 176 and also on his new podcast, Extra Hot Game Time, coming this month.
Ooh,
this month being November. And his question is, someone makes a 90210 movie a la Baywatch, cast it, and add in one special celebrity guest. Shall we alternate back and forth, Sarah?
Indeed. Would you like to begin?
All right. Sure. I'll start with Brenda. And my pick for Brenda is Katie Stevens from The Bold Type, the main girl with the long dark hair.
Okay. I went with Stefania Owen of The Carrie Diaries and Chance.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Who is your Brandon?
My Brandon is David Lambert, who, as it happens, plays Brandon on The Fosters, another shitty teenager, but for very different reasons.
I went with Dylan Minnette from 13 Reasons Why, so that Brandon mm-hmm. could be likable. Makes a nice change.
Interesting take. For my Dylan, I have Hayden. I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name. S-Z-E-T-O-Z-O. He's the Asian dreamboat from the movie Edge of 17. Super cute.
Oh, okay. I went with Cole Sprouse, a.k.a. Jughead mm-hmm. from Riverdale.
His Luke Perry's teenage son, or TV son, rather. I like it. Kelly, I have the equally haughty and beautiful Yara Shahidi from Blackish.
I went with Kylie Bunbury from Pitch. She's probably too old, but so were all the gangsters, so it's fine.
Yeah, true. Speaking of too old, my pick for Steve is, in fact, a Baywatch the Movie alumnus, Zac Efron.
I went with Ross Butler, who is on 13 Reasons Why and Riverdale, playing basically the same character.
Oh, okay. For Aunt... Yes.
Sure.
I mean, it's a take. It's a take, definitely. For Andrea, I have another glasses-wearing know-it-all that everyone is unhappy to see, Vanessa Morano, a.k.a. April Nardini from Gilmore Girls.
I went with Catherine Keener. Don't ask me why. Just, you know.
Sure. Oh, I don't need to ask you why. I know why.
You do.
For Donna, I have Lily Reinhart, also from Riverdale. She plays Betty.
I had Anna Sophia Robb from The Carrie Diaries. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not letting that go.
Yep. For David, I have Tyler James Williams, formerly of Everybody Hates Chris, more recently of a very short-lived visit to The Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah, that guy. I totally forgot to cast David. I think it was wishful thinking. So let's go with the guy who plays Tony on 13 Reasons Why.
Okay.
He knows a lot about tapes.
Fair. I have a few parents, which I know you do not. For Cindy, Laura Dern.
Love it.
For Jim, Patrick Wilson.
Uh-huh.
And for Jackie, my dear Eliza Coop from Happy Endings.
Yes.
Who I think would have no problem playing Coke addiction at all. Oh. Not to say that I think she's actually an addict, but that Jane on Happy Endings was a little bit high strung.
Yeah, just a little bit. I don't know.
I'm very curious to know where we both went with our camp. Oh, you had one more.
I cast Bella Thorne as Val because
that's good.
She's not, you know, she can touch the hem of Val's boob garment, but that's mm-hmm. plenty. It's enough.
Yep. That's more than most of us get, honestly. All right. And for celebrity cameo, I have Beverly Hills 902 alumna Vivica A. Fox, except now she's playing Mrs. Teasley.
I had The Rock as Mr. Teasley.
Love it!
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network. Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This Minis. Today's topic is Freakier Friday. Here are your hosts, Tari Ariano, Sarah D. Bunting.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, America. Today's topic comes to us from Twitter user at Jeff Rundell, who asks, how would the show be different if Brenda and Brandon's personalities had been switched? Sarah.
Excellent question. I thought this would be cinchy. And then when I sat down to like mull it over and take some notes about it, I was like, oh, it's actually hard. It's actually hard to distinguish their like brand of assholery, their individual brands of assholery.
Sarah, so, yes. I had the same thought. When you think about it, they kind of both have the same personality. They just express it differently according to what society will allow of their respective sexes.
Yeah, that was what it sort of boiled down to for me, that in the case of Branda, mm-hmm. Then it's basically Andrea, but without any charming insecurities or compunction about butting into anything. Yep. So that would be kind of weird. But then they would be closer friends or maybe uber rivals. Hard to say.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know how you had that shaking out. And then Brendan is like Kevin on This Is Us, which I wrote this down before I watched the most recent episode as we're recording this, but he's like Kevin on This Is Us, but not as charming and not as tall. And mm-hmm. when he pulls the defiant shit that Brenda does with Dylan, either he and Jim get into a physical altercation that ends with Jim respecting him more and basically turning over the deed to the house to him. Or it's like resolved by the end of the episode, or nobody can shut up about how independent and principled he is about moving uh-huh. out. And it's disgusting. But that's not that different from how Jim actually acts with Brandon.
No, it's weird. So here's what I had. If Brenda were as big a know-it-all as Brandon, I agreed with you. Her parents would be that she would be very Andrea-esque. Her parents would constantly be telling her to soften up and stop braying at everyone's faces, basically like Gil did with Andrea about the paper, but constantly in every episode.
Yeah.
And if Brandon were as touchy a raw nerve as Brenda, Jim would be more confused about how to deal with a boy who was constantly letting himself be so vulnerable, but he would probably still want to fuck him like he does in our reality. Sorry. But actually, as I said, they really are alike. Brenda is emotional, but she's more likely to turn her pain inward, whereas Brandon is just as emotional as she is, but he has to get defensive and spray it all over everyone else. And that, I think, is more a function of like she's a girl and he's a boy.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But they really are a lot alike.
Yeah, in that they're both terrible. Good twinning, I guess.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network. Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This Minis. Today's topic is Major Barbaras. And now your host, Tar Ariano, Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, everybody. Today's topic comes from me. We all remember, or perhaps it is only I who keeps her legend alive, the Barb who graffiti tagged Brandon's Mustang in the Euphoria episode. So I have tasked us with furnishing a top 10 list of barbs we hope were responsible, 5 from each co-host. My mother is, as the patron saint of this endeavor, not eligible for either list, although she glides over all. Tara, would you like to begin?
Sure. I'm curious to know how many, because we didn't confer about this, how many Barbaras we have in common. We may not get to 10.
Yeah, we may not. I have some backups just in case.
Okay. Some Barbara alternates.
Yes.
Bye. Okay. Here are my, I'll just start. We can go back and forth until we run into a shared Barbara, perhaps. Let's do it that way.
Okay.
Starting with Barbara Streisand.
Oh, yes.
The car blocked her light.
And she used her talons from Prince of Tides to do it.
You bet she did.
Barbara Stanwyck, because she's a badass.
Barbara Eden. In my scenario, she was feuding with fellow sitcom star Samantha Sanders and mixed up which car was Samantha's son's.
Barbara Walters, reporting live from the scene of Brandon's shirtless writhing upon the hood.
Barbara Bush Jr. getting a very early start on her college era wilding.
Barbara Maitland from Beetlejuice, played by Gina Davis. Mm-hmm. She can just Beetlejuice them out of the situation.
I have Barbara Jordan, politician, and she would have tagged his car on behalf of women and especially women of color everywhere.
Ooh, good one. I have former Bond girl and current Mrs. Ringo star, I think, still, Barbara Bach. Because she's a Bond girl.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I have Barb from Stranger Things, fought her way back from the Upside Down to fuck with Brandon because his shittiness transcends all universes and timelines.
I also had Streisand, so I'm going into the Barb alternates right now. Saint Barbara, whose feast day is around now, as you're listening to this, December 4th. She is invoked for protection versus thunder, lightning, and explosions related to gunpowder. I don't know if you knew that. So when Brandon's spot gets blown up, that's Saint Barb.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network. Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 Minis. Today's episode is And We Might See Them Again. And now your host, Tara and Sarah.
Today's topic comes to us from Twitter user yes_its_me_s. I'm too tired to do it now. Just kidding. Many characters have burned brightly, but no longer than a single episode. Elevator pitch a spinoff for an And We Never Saw Them Again 90210 Disappear E. I will go first. My pick is Carla from season one. She was the Walsh housekeeper's Anna's niece, or was she? She wasn't. But she was basically a spy. The reason that she came into the gang's life is that she had witnessed a crime and she was being sort of hidden until she could testify. So I say give her a spinoff following her through her college years like a Latino Cindy Bristow, but with 90s era tech, foreign policy priorities and fashion. Sarah,
I came so close to picking her.
That's hilarious.
And having her uncle, who was very rude to Brandon as well, because he was rude to Brandon.
Yeah.
But I was concerned that there wasn't much there. And also that we would pick the same thing because we're gross. So I went with Trisha. Trisha the ice skater has gone down a sad Tonya Harding-esque path in the last 25 years. Now she's trying to make a comeback despite a huge and center of gravity disrupting set of fake boobs, the myriad health problems of her Pomsky Babylonia, and the doubts of her pro bono coach and fashion advisor, Johnny Weir. Can she return to her previous heights? Find out on E's limited documentary series, Trisha Chest.
Hey, I got one.
Yes, Dave.
So how about the inept guardian angel from the Christmas episode?
Oh, no.
Oh.
This has been a production of the
previously.tv podcast network. Previously.tv podcast network.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This Minis. Today's topic is 90210 orthopedists are 100% covered.
At Lori underscore Kearns on Twitter asks us, who would benefit the most from Medicare for All, adding parenthetically, and the answer is Nat. It obviously is. But since we now can't use that answer, Sarah, who did you choose?
I do not disagree with our correspondent, but if he has been eliminated from contention, mm-hmm. I have to go with Kelly. Just from what we've seen almost right at the end of seven seasons, eating disorder treatment, burn unit and plastic surgery, inpatient drug rehab, complex PTSD, endometriosis, micro mouth disorder. I think there's another drug rehab again later. She's got some high priced problems and she could probably use some help from the government.
I can't believe that you didn't come up with like a medical term for cat butt mouth. Feline rectal oral felis disorder.
Or orofelis posterioris. I'll work on it. Follow us on Twitter at AWT90210. My fellow Latin
nerds. Hey, please weigh in with your own. That would be awesome. Yes. Yes.
Although, Tara, yours has the benefit of being in a fraud.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Feline rectal oral disorder.
I guess it would be labial than oral, but I mean, it's her whole mouth, not just her lips. Let's all work this out, guys, at AWT90210 on Twitter. I went with Sheila Silver and David Silver, both who as we've seen have also experienced various mental health issues and diagnoses that would be crucial to have fully covered both for their treatment with analysts and for medication, which is not actually covered even under Canada's socialized medicine program, but in Bernie Sanders' proposed Medicare for All bill in this country, America, drug prescriptions would also be fully covered, which is awesome. And everyone should be trying to outstrip Canada where they can. You will not have that many opportunities to do it. There, I said it.
Also, he's going to get some kind of like shoulder carpal tunnel from wearing shirts that reach the floor.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network. Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This Minis. Today's topic is Oh, Pray All Ye Faithful.
Today's topic comes to us from at Rob Hartman on Twitter, who writes, create a terrible tie-in Christmas toy, for example, he offers, the Brandon Braillator, a cheap electric bullhorn to make your opinions known. We have a few, so we're going to go back and forth. My first is the Kelly Taylor baby voice modulator.
Okay. I have the Donna Martin fashion plates with boob cavern attachment.
Of course.
I got one. It's a it's like the Big Mouth Bass singing fish, except it's a cat butt for
Oh, nice. My next is a desktop version of the earthquake pinball machine for office fun times.
It's Earth Shaker.
Okay, thank you.
I have the David Silver Squash It fly swatter.
The Val Malone dress-up kit comes with a wig, eyeliner, and chicken cutlets for your bra.
And my final one is the Dylan McKay Baja Snuggie with optional Shadowcaster patch iron-on.
I'm going to close out on a color-your-own poster version of Colin's shitty mural from the Peach Pit After Dinner.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network.
previously.tvpodcastnetwork.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This Minis. Today's topic is Beverly Hills Helping Hands. And now here are your hosts, Tara and Sarah.
Today's mini topic comes to us from at Cilantro Rose on Twitter, who asks, pick a member of the gang to fill each of the following roles in your life and don't use the same one twice. We're going to go back and forth on this. And by the way, I'm just going to say, in terms of who is or is not in the gang, I went with a very loose interpretation of that. Sarah, did you?
Pretty loose, I guess.
Okay. All right. Let's start with Surgeon. Sarah, who would your pick be?
My pick is Andrea, of course.
Same.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The only one who had or pursued any kind of real medical training and maybe would not kill me. She would certainly at least try very hard not to kill me, knowing what we know about Andrea.
I mean, she does end up at Yale. So let's hope that, you know, she's a hard worker. I think she'll be fine.
Okay.
Some of these are really going to be in trouble, but whatever.
Therapist, who was your pick?
I picked David because I just don't think he's going to give a shit, but then he'll be sort of a good listener and that he won't really be paying attention and I can just talk about my problems for 45 minutes and then leave.
I went with Jackie Taylor.
Oh,
this is okay. What I mean when I say we were loose interpretation.
Okay.
I feel like she probably has had some therapy. And I think she probably would also have some insights and a don't give a fuck attitude about delivering them. Sort of like Dr. Pavone from Felicity. I get that kind of vibe from her.
Yeah. You know, she's a reverend now, this actor.
I did not know
at
that.
At our esteemed
awesome.
Colleague Stephanie Green's church, as a matter of fact.
Shut the fuck up. I forgot. I didn't know that and I forgot.
She
That's
looks
amazing.
Great, too. She looks really good.
Obviously.
Okay. Thank God it wasn't the Nightman theme. Oh shit, why did I say that out loud?
Why did you?
I don't know.
Okay. Personal stylist.
Two more Nightmans and then he appears.
Oh, like Beetlejuice? Got it.
And I just said it once.
Okay, personal stylist, Sarah.
I went with Valerie.
Same.
Because she knows how to dress for a generous front porch.
She absolutely does. That's exactly my reason, almost in those same exact words. She's got big boobs. She knows how to use them. Podcast co-host, Sarah, with whom would you possibly replace me?
There is no replacing you, but I feel that you would want to be replaced with Brenda Walsh. So that's...
Oh, interesting.
That's who I went with. I feel like there would be a certain through line of... uncompromising bitchiness that is important for continuity. So that's who I went with. Also, she has very shiny, pretty hair, and I would like to look at it.
The only problem with her, I think that's an excellent choice, but as we know, she is a mush mouth, so that might be a problem in the audio format.
You
can't see the shape her lips are making with whatever she's trying to pronounce. But I went in a similar direction, but a little more obscure. Amanda the Bitch from the Slumber Party in season one. She knows the tea. She gonna spill it.
Uh-huh.
And you, of course, are also irreplaceable to me, but she would do her best, I think.
I absolutely accept this as a replacement.
She also had nice hair. I mean, it was a little 80s with the curls, but still, she wore it well. Mm-hmm. Okay, life coach.
Steve, because he keeps failing upward.
He does.
And if he just like takes us with him, then like if we can get in, here's the thing. He is like closely connected to Rush, who really does seem to have he's an idiot as a father of an adult trifler, but he's got contacts and he wears cool pinky rings. And I feel like that knowing that family would be good. What about you?
I went with Deshaun because he also has, he hasn't failed upwards. He's only moved upwards. He's very talented and he knows how to use his skills. But when he had a setback in his freshman year of college in terms of thinking he could skate by on his basketball talent alone, he realized eventually that he would actually need an education, and he buckled down and did well on his own without Brandon's stupid tutoring help. And above all, he had the sense to leave the rest of these idiots behind and apparently not leave a forwarding address, because once he was off the show, he was off the show. And also, just as a sidebar, Cress Williams is, of all of these people, having the best career as well. So I think he knows some things and he could pass them on.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
Finally, BFF, another place where I would have to be replacing you. Not possible. Who was your pick?
I went with Claire because feel like she's the closest analog that we can manage of these people in terms of like relative attentiveness, apple polishing.
Yep.
She could look cute, but she makes some weird choices with her hair, which is not an analog to you, but rather to me.
Well,
so I just think that of all of them, like, I was the happiest to see her go, like, for the character, that it was like, just go to Paris and be free. So yeah. If I have to pick one of these dolts, I would pick her. And then when she leaves the show, I will just go to Europe with her. It'll be fine.
Again, we are thinking very similarly because my pick was Brenda. Uh-huh. She's a bitch in all the best ways. All you need to do is figure out how to stay on her good side and you're fine. Like, you know, think of the people who never had fights with her, Donna. You know, she can be a good friend. She just doesn't want you to fuck her boyfriend when she's in Paris. I don't think that's unreasonable.
And since neither of us is really that into stick insects or, you know, single, that's probably not going to be a problem. Right. So, yeah,
exactly. Yeah, she's the one I would want to hang out with the most. So that's that was my pick. And as you said, pretty hair definitely always a factor. Hey,
I mean, it is. It's true. We got our priorities.
This was quite the
check.
Thought experiment. Thank you, Cilantro Rose, for making us search our souls this way.
Indeed.
The correct answer was the Earthshaker pinball machine.
Nightman.
For what?
Everything.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network. Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Everybody, this is Again With This Minis. Today's topic is what happens when people never start being polite. And now here are your dicks.
Let's see what he did there. This topic comes to us from at Dan Pierce Paul, who writes, what reality show should each character go on? Let's throw it back and forth. And then Sarah's got a couple of bonus ones that I did not do. I have first up Kelly. And I would put her on The Challenge because I would like to see her physically abused with difficult challenges that would maybe break her legs or arms or boob. Sarah.
I put her on Married at First Sight. Sorry, girl. But I would like to see someone who is actually trained in psychology, like went to their college classes, tell her, like, here's the thing. I understand that this is a weird situation, but you need to stop baby voicing. You're a grown ass woman.
Val, I put her on The Bachelor because she's a gold digger now, and that's what they do.
I put her on Show Millionaire, and then in the parentheses, I had slurp slurp, but The Bachelor worked just as well.
Steve, I put on Bachelor in Paradise because he's a slut. He likes to drink with a shirt off.
Good pick. I put him on Jay Leno's Garage because he'll be very happy there and we'll never see him again.
Oh, that's nice. Donna is obviously going on Project Runway Junior because she likes clothes and she's a baby.
I put her on Project Runway Senior so that she could get bounced the first week.
Oh, God, yes. So true. Okay, David, this is one where I think there's the greatest likelihood that we have the same pick. He's going on The Prophet.
Oh, no, I put him on The Voice. Bitch, bye.
Well, the prophet, because he needs Marcus to tell him every wrong thing he's doing at the club and in his various other business ventures because he sucks.
Oh, believe me, Limoges will be making an appearance later in our countdown.
Thank God. Okay. Noah, I would put on Big Brother because I don't care and I wouldn't have to watch him.
I'm putting him on America's Next Top Model because his smizing and also his crising need work big time.
Nice.
It won't help, but I would be super interested to see poor Tyra being like, we're all counting on you, and him being like, derp, because that's all he can do.
Okay, Brandon is going on Little Women LA so he can meet a woman he can look in the eye.
I put him on Undercover High because he would just be carved up by that shit.
All right, I'm out. So it's up to you. Finish this off.
I also had Carly, who can be on Project Greenlight, because why not?
Sure.
And my candidate for the prophet, of course, was Nat.
Of course.
I really can't wait to see Marcus's talking heads where he's like, why aren't you charging anyone for anything, a dickhead?
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network. Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Everybody, this is Again With His Minis. Today's topic is Mutual of Wilshire's Wild Kingdom. Now here are your hosts, Tara Ariano, Sarah D. Bunte.
Mutual of Wilshire's Wild Kingdom at Eliza McCall on Twitter writes, if you had to replace a Beverly Hillser with an animal, what would it be and why? Sarah.
I would replace Brenda Wash with a grizzly bear. Uh-huh. She would rampage through the entire cast and eat absolutely all of them horribly. And then it would end the show many merciful seasons before it dragged us to this dull, frumpy, sudsy, self-important point. Tara.
Well, I went with Brenda's twin, Brandon, and I would turn him into a goldfish so maybe he can shut the fuck up for once in his fucking life.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network. Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With His Minis. Today's topic is Lucky Seven. And here are your hosts, Tara Ariano, Sarah D. Bunte.
Hello. Today, our topic comes from at Cilantro Rose on Twitter, who asks us to pick seven characters from the show to represent each of the seven deadly sins. Let's go by sin, shall we?
Sure. I started with Pride. Brandon could have fit into so many of these, but that's where I put Brandon because he's very proud.
Guess what,
of
Sarah?
Himself and his dick. And everything else.
So what? Did I. For all the obvious reasons, you're right. He could be many of these, but that's the one I went with for him. For sure.
For greed, I put Valerie. I don't really agree with that, but the way she's been written so far in season 8, I sort of had no choice.
How many of these will we match on, Sarah? Because same, for the same reasons. That's been her whole storyline this whole season. So, yeah. Greed, Val.
Yeah. Lust, I struggled with, because again, that could be almost anyone on the show, but I went with Dylan for working shadow caster and also possibly getting a French girl pregnant or getting a girl pregnant in French with French.
Me too.
By Frenching. Oh, really?
Yep. For all the same reasons.
Oh, my God.
Because that's I also disgusting. Assumed, like, every time, even though he, like, was not, that he was the kind of coxman who, like, wasn't showy about it. So, like, every time we saw him interact with any woman, I was like, oh, they fucked, probably. Like, the one in the hotel room when Brenda catches them, like, oh, yeah, the two of them for sure fucked in the past at some point. I just assumed he was having sex with everybody.
Yeah. Envy was a tough one, but I went with Brenda Wash because she envies everyone when she first arrives in town. And then once she and Dylan split up after the Summer of Deception, she's definitely envying Kelly.
Me too. Yeah, she from the
folks,
start.
As we record this, it is National Spouses Day. This is disgusting, even for spouses.
Yeah, she her storyline from the beginning was that she wanted Kelly's life. Like, she always feels less than compared to all of the blondes on the show. So yeah, for sure. Envy is Brenda.
Okay. Do you want to switch it up and go first with Gluttony to see if this is going to hold?
Okay, sure.
All the same ones.
We'll see. I went with Kelly because she's got an eating disorder. I
thought about doing that, but I didn't. I went with months.
That's a good one. That's fair. And which one is left? Sloth. I went with Steve because at his heart, he is lazy and I love him for it.
Same.
Six out of seven matches.
I doubt we're going to match on Wrath, though, because I had Roger the Tennis Menendez from season one. And I'm sure you didn't have that guy. But if you did, barf.
Sorry, I forgot we still had one to go. I did not. So 5 out of 7 matches. Sorry. I went with David, who's mad about everything all the fucking time and always inflicting his terrible moods on everyone around him. David is mad at me. All right.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network. Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This Minis. Today's topic is plotting mom and dad. And now here are your hosts, Tara Ariano, Sarah D. Budding.
Today's topic comes to us from @Corianne on Twitter, who writes, if you had to create a storyline for a parent for any season, who would it be and what would the story entail? I'll go first. We're already on the record as having pitched Cindy having an affair with Rush, and I stand by that. But instead, I propose Andrea's parents, who are now played by Tom Selleck and Jane Curtin, are never around because it turns out they're spies. Sarah.
I thought you were going to say it turns out they're swingers. I don't know why. I think I'm losing my mind. Okay. Mine is that Cindy gets fed up with both her entitled children and the my boy fucking / my little girl can't attitude from Jim that created these monsters in the first place. And she pieces out to New York City and a dedicated episode of High Maintenance for a girls pot tourism weekend with Jackie.
I love it.
Same.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network. Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This Minis. Today's topic is double, double, your fun. And now here's your host, Tara Ariano, and Sarah D. Budding.
This topic comes to us from @BrackCounterBrack on Twitter, who writes, Beverly Hills 90210 has a habit of bringing actors back to play other roles. For example, Cousin Bobby / Danny Five, multi-print blazer school board members / Shadowcasters owners dinner party guest, stoner dude from the House of 1,000 Stairs / bigot musician, Pam from Friends, Lovers, and Children, our main podcast this week, who returns in season 10 to play Dr. Nikki Long. Cliff Dorfman actually appeared in both the Date Rapey Halloween episode from season 2 and as a photographer in the season 4 finale before returning in season 9 for a multi-episode arc as someone named Joe Patch. Can't wait to meet him, JK. Okay. So @BrackCounterBrack would like us each to pick a random bit character whose performer should have returned and who / what they each should play. Sarah.
I don't know if you would call this a bit character, but like his father, James Townsend, season 1, episode 4, also works for the city now, specifically as an inspector for the Department of Buildings. Yes, both Brandon and David's pants will be cited and fined for violating local zoning ordinances, and they will be forced to live in them, and they will collapse. Everyone will be killed. Happily Ever After, etc. Tara.
Just for some clarity on Sarah's, for those who don't remember all the way back to season one when we covered it 500 years ago, this is the guy that Brandon accuses of having been brought in as a basketball ringer that cost him his spot on the team, despite the fact that Brandon is a wee tiny man.
Tall.
Dave.
How about the guy who played the voice of the guardian angel from that show? He comes back in the later years, now that we're sort of at the dawn of the internet, as like the Beverly Hills 90210 universe's knockoff version of the AOL You Got Mail guy.
You've received correspondence.
Email for you. All right. Remember the lady who faked a neck injury after conning Brenda into rear-ending her in season, I'm going to say, three? She could have returned as Dylan's hypnotherapist because they basically have the same face anyway, and no one would have noticed probably that it was the same lady, and a lot of people probably thought it was the same lady.
I did think it was the same lady. I think you corrected me in the podcast that I was like, oh, it's the same lady. You're like, actually, no, it isn't.
Yeah, no, but they really look alike.
Really actually,
and speaking of the hypnotherapist, she is now back on our televisions, I noticed recently, as the wife of the fatal crockpot gifter on This Is Us.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she has white hair now because she's old. The end.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network. Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This Minis. Today's topic is Oscar Gamble with your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Improbable though it is, Hilary Swank got her start on Beverly Hills 90210 before going on to win two Oscars to date for acting. At Fulham Mom wants us to pretend that another actual Oscar winner followed a similar career trajectory. So, which Oscar winner would we each insert into Beverly Hills 90210, and what would his or her role and plot arc be, Sarah?
Daniel Day-Lewis as Nat.
For the hungry boy.
A mean peach cobbler. Get it?
I'm gonna give you a great feast. Two goats. That was just for you, Tara.
Yeah, that was good.
Mine is not okay. That.
Now, Sarah.
Mine is J.K. Simmons. He will be pre-preasing his Whiplash role as Fletcher, except this time he is mentoring David, who is such a bitch about it that Fletcher just straight beats him to death. Only in my dreams.
Oh my God, that's a beautiful vision. All right, here is mine. Hello Day will never be the same after new student Marigold, Brie Larson, dominates the talent show with her rendition of She Said. We have a clip.
She said, get out of my way, cause I'm going somewhere. This is not where I wanna be. You can say what you want, you can tell me I'm wrong. La-di-da, la-di-dee. Get off of my back, stop saying that, cause I'm not afraid of heights. I may never get where I'm going, yeah, but then again I might. You can get inside my head, can't be my safety net.
That the real Brie Larson really recorded and released in 2005. People may not know that before she won an Oscar for Room, she tried to be a teen pop star with that song that sounds like it was deleted from the soundtrack of 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yeah, it totally does. And it is now so precious to me.
has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network. Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This Minis. Today's topic is rate and review them on iTunes. Here's your host, Tara and Sarah.
Mini introduction. Hello.
What'd I say?
He just didn't say our last names. It's fine.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This Minis, Beverly Hills 90210. Today's episode is Rate and Review Them on iTunes with your host, Tara Christina Ariano and Sarah Douglas Bunting. Are you happy?
Steal our identities.
I was just going to say. My identity is no good. At Trivia Girl 112 on Twitter writes, pick a character and book him or her on a podcast. Which podcast is it, and how does he or she do? Sarah, please tell us what you have brought us.
I immediately had to place Brandon onto a podcast during which he would be screamed at by one of the hosts, mm-hmm. who is a former FBI profiler and member of the New York ADA, or the DA's office in New York. That would be Jim Clemente. Of Real Crime Profile, who would react to Brandon's recent adventures in the seamy underbelly of Erica's life by basically just like going full feedback, throat polyp, screaming on the mic about what a moron Brandon is and how he doesn't know the Constitution and mm-hmm. is a jackass and is not helping. And, you know, the role of the press in catching murderers is actually something that, like, versus the, you know, fuck you attitude of SVU detectives, I think Clemente is pretty realistic about how it can help if it's used correctly. But Brandon is not a real, you know, member of the press. He's just Brandon. Mm-hmm. And I like to feel that he would be concussed by the yelling and then die. Tara.
Well, I also chose Brandon, except I would put him on WTF with Marc Maron. So the universe's two biggest blowhards can try to occupy the same space and I can ignore it like I've been ignoring WTF since the Patrick Stewart interview that Maron did so horribly. I turned it off in the middle of the episode. Thank you very much.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network. Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This Minis. Today's topic is a most sensational, inspirational, celebrational, muppetational thought experiment on this podcast.
Well done.
With your host,
very good. This comes to us from at O underscore O underscore Odessa.
Wow, not from Adam Grossman.
No. And wow. This user suggests that we replace each member of the gang with the appropriate Muppet. I went with current day gang, but we can go back and forth depending on how our lists match up.
I had a mix.
Sarah, shall I begin?
Okay. Yes, please.
Well, I think we probably both did this guy, Brandon.
Uh-huh.
I went with Sam Eagle.
Same.
Amazing.
It's not where I thought we'd overlap, but okay.
He's very judgmental and he has a flat head. Kelly. I went with Prairie Dawn because they both have baby voices.
Ooh, good one. I just realized I didn't have Kelly on my list at all. Hey.
All right. For Donna, I went with Snuffleupagus because they both have very large cow-like eyes and long eyelashes and are a really weird shade of brownie red.
I went with Beaker because mm-hmm. Beaker is easily startled and makes a lot of does a lot of stuff and also has really bright red hair.
True. All right, for David, I have Oscar the Grouch for obvious reasons.
I went with Ralph, although based on size of pants, I might have to go with Gorgon Heap.
Okay. For Val, Miss Piggy, because they have the biggest boobs.
Oh, I went with Camilla because chicken breast.
I was going to say, what about the chicken?
Yeah, as yeah, the, yeah. Could see yeah. that. For Noah, I went with Elmo because Elmo is a shittier ripoff of Grover, like Noah's a shittier ripoff of Dylan.
Okay. I did actual Dylan, and he was Janice. Mm-hmm. She's kind of a hippie.
Ah,
and
she wears a Baja Janice top. Janice is Carly.
I had Dr. Teeth as Carly. Come on, Tara. Ah!
You were right. You were right. Okay, for Steve, I went with Fozzie Bear because I think I can actually hear him say waka, waka, waka.
Excellent choice. I went with Gonzo.
I can see that, too. And finally, my last choice on the list is Nat, obviously the Swedish chef.
I had Brenda as Miss Piggy because if anyone could pull off a mm-hmm. like actual legit hi-ya, no,
yeah.
no, no, no,
no. No.
While wearing
no.
a thong and sweatpants. That's some Miss Piggy level shit right there.
You're right.
For some reason, I think the captain from Pigs in Space should be Jim Walsh. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah, I can see it.
We should also mention that we remain, as always, Waldorf and Statler.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network.
It's like a kind of torture to have to watch the show.
Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This Minis. Today's topic is travel down North Palm and back again. Here are your hosts, Tara and Sarah.
Here's a topic very dear to my co-host's heart. At Michael's TV Tray on Twitter writes, it's a Golden Girls 90210 crossover. Which Golden Girls character visits 90210? Who is she connected to? And what is her story? And just to note that the possible inspiration for this topic was a while ago, I tweeted a picture of Christine Belford, who played Samantha Sanders on this show, appearing as Kirsten, Rose's daughter, on Golden Girls. So that was when it happened the other way around. For this question, I'm importing Blanche, because it turns out Jody wasn't the only woman Steve dated during the show's hiatus to try to get over Claire. He also happened to meet a sassy older lady at the Peach Pit and had a wild long weekend with her. He then got way too attached, requiring Blanche to let him down hard for his own sake, which is why it's unfortunate that he runs into her again later at a Schmancy hotel bar, having a drink with Rush Sanders. Sarah.
Ooh, good twist. This will shock not only you, but anyone who has ever listened to me or read my writing for more than 5 minutes. But I did not pick Dorothy. I also picked Blanche.
What?
Because I think it's... Because I think she needs to, as Valerie's grandmother, take Valerie shopping on Rodeo Drive. And while they're out, ladies who lunching, remind her of the joys of no strings attached sex and that she does not have to be ashamed or listen to anybody's slut-shaming comments, especially from Brandon. Because Blanche is a great character in that regard and a vanguard and enjoyed life. And Valerie needs to get back to that version of her character instead of the one who's always like schemey but in a different inconsistent way from season to season. So I'm with it.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network. Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This Minis. Today's topic is Death Is Not an Option, First Date Edition, with your hosts, Tara and Sarah.
This diabolical thought experiment comes to us from...
It's my birthday when this drops.
My God, it literally is. Happy birthday. At Noemi POM or Palm from Twitter writes, Tara and Sarah must take either David or Brandon on a date. They can't be rude or homicidal. They have to spend the day blowing smoke up their chosen guy's ass like everyone else does. Who do they pick? Where do they take them? And how do they survive the experience? Birthday girl, why don't you start us off?
Okay.
I actually gave this a fair amount of thought, weighing the pros and cons, and then barfing myself inside out and dying before I reached my birthday. So now I'm a ghost. So that's neat. once I returned to haunt this podcast, I settled upon David. First of all, he has an outside shot at being taller than me if I have any kind of heel on at all, like including Converse. We would go shopping for some correctly fitting pants. And then we would go to a live show, rock concert, anything, which could be fun, like legit, but would at least have the benefit of drowning him out and meaning that I can face the stage instead of looking at his piss face all night and presumably there's alcohol. So that if it's not going well, I can just drown my sorrows and everyone's around me. Or I would be able to drink if I weren't dead and a diaphanous ghost, but I am, and I am. Tara, avenge me.
Well, of those two hideous choices, I have to go with Brandon, and here's why.
Ah, okay.
David has no interest in ingratiating himself to anyone, so he would be a terrible date companion. He would just shut down and brood, and if I can't tell him to fuck off, I don't have the capacity to try to jolly him into acting like an adult. And Brandon probably wouldn't try that hard to win me over either. But he would also hold up his side of the conversation and mine, and in fact, not even notice that I was barely responding to him, which I wouldn't.
He would also probably pick up the check without, you know, stealing the money. Which,
yeah, that's true.
That's handy.
True. In order to make Brandon at all bearable, I can't put him in a position where he would hold forth about something he thinks he knows a lot about, but I also don't want to do anything I will hate, so we're going ziplining. The downtime between runs is minimal and will be separated a lot. Plus, there's a slight chance that he'll be injured or fall to his death, or that I will, ending my very bad day with Brandon Walsh.
Happy birthday to me.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network. Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With His Minis. Today's topic is getting round filed at FYI.
At Putnam Knows Best on Twitter writes, in honor of the recently announced Murphy Brown revival, pick five members of the gang and describe how each would get fired from the job of Murphy's secretary. I'm curious to know how much commonality we have here. Sarah, why don't you go first?
All right. I totally forgot that this was a thing, so this was a pretty fun one to revisit and do. I'll begin with Kelly, whose baby voice gets the team in trouble with child labor laws advocates.
I also picked Kelly. My way she got fired was blowing rails.
Okay, sure. That's legit. Checks out. Let's move along to Brandon, tries to journalism and fails.
I also had Brandon, and I just had screams at Murphy.
Oh, sure. Steve plagiarizes the minutes of the morning rundown meeting.
Oh, close. I also had Steve, but falsifying research.
Okay.
Steve Donna, blasting it.
Sure. Donna, call forwarding stuff.
I did not pick Donna, so I'll go back to Brenda, whose first assignment is to deliver a document, but she goes to a pool party instead.
And I'll wrap it up with Noah, who was not fired, just mistaken for a wooden partner's desk and moved into the conference room.
David refuses to read the network's employee manual. Oh, dear.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network. Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With His Minis. Today's episode is Watch What Crappens. And now here are your hosts, Tara and Sarah.
At Jeff Rundell on Twitter writes, which Bravo show should each character be on? I went with the current cast member so we can just ping pong back and forth. See how much, again, commonality we had between us, shall we?
I just like picked from various. So okay. Why don't you begin and we'll see who we had in common.
All right. Brandon.
Okay.
Brisky, because he's Canadian.
Interesting. I put him on $1 million listing New York so that I could then step on him and kill him.
Nice. Kelly, LA Shrinks, obviously.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that show. I put her on Sheer Genius.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I like it. Donna, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, because Felice was probably right. She shouldn't have a career.
I put her on Flipping Out because I felt like she would be just oblivious to him having a million strokes at her stuff. And actually, she might be okay in interior design if he bought her all the stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. David, I went with Celebrity Poker Showdown because it would be funny to see his telltale of covering his face every time he has bad hand.
I did not use David. I did have Dylan on Vanderpump Rules because delicious cumin.
I put Val on Vanderpump Rules because it seems like there's a lot of scheming going on there and that she would fit right in.
Okay. I didn't have Val, but I put Noah on Below Deck because boat.
Oh my God, me too. Obviously. Nice. I have Steve on Blowout because his hair does keep getting taller.
Well, I should have put him on Sheer Genius, but I actually put him on Top Chef. I mean, it would be a disaster. He'd be eliminated immediately after that one shift he worked at the beach pit, but.
Sure. After our latest main episode, I had to put Carly on Extreme Guide to Parenting because she could learn a thing or two.
I cast Brenda on the Real Housewives of New Jersey because I really feel like she could prostitution whore table flip with the best of them.
Oh my God, she's so good. And finally, I have Nat on Tabitha's Salon Takeover because the profit wasn't an option and this is the next best thing.
I put Andrea on Watch What Happens Live as the bartender responsible for filling up the Shotsky.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network.